we definitely appreciate all those who give and tithe and give unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Got some big things coming up here. Hallelujah. And we're just believing for God for some great things. Moving forward. And we're definitely living in a very peculiar time. And I just know this, that getting ready for what God has for us. You know, the crazy thing is when you're younger, you're trying to plan out your life and go, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go to school, or I'm going to go over here, I'm going to work, or whatever you're doing. And if I know people that I went to school with, and they left, and they're doing exactly what they said when they got out of school, and they're doing this, and they're still in the same spot and everything. And it's like, well, that's good for them, but I mean, no, they're just not. That's especially if you follow God, or you do anything, or you're led on anything, or you could be somewhere else doing something completely different, and it's like the old old sayings that Doc Barkley used to say, the flexible will never be broken. Mm-hmm. And God wants flexibility with his people, do things. I mean, when he came up to Abraham, he goes, go to Ur. Ur? 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 Ur. Didn't make sense, did it? He's like, well, I'm pretty happy here. I've got plenty of stuff. But when he left, God blessed him even more. And there were even more things ahead. And so, that's happened to us over and over. It seems like throughout our marriage and our life, it seems like when we've done things, it seems like a step back or, oh, what's going on here? But God is setting us up for things. Amen. And I believe God is setting our nation up for things coming forward. I believe he's setting our church up for things moving forward. Amen. For blessings. And so, again, often we can't look at things the way that they look, but we've got to go on the inside. Amen. Because God will move us to a place where, when we got done with Bible college, I was planning on going overseas, probably going in some jungle somewhere, in Indiana Jones somewhere way back in the boondocks with tribes. But I have been there with African tribes before, way back in no man's land. I mean, way back in the bush. But God has some, it's just being led by the Spirit. Amen. And I don't know why I'm saying all this, but, when we obey God, the things that we thought were our desires and things we wanted to do, when we obey God, those are actually the real things that come out in us, right? Because he knows our giftings, he knows our callings, he knows those things that he's designed us, he's created us, he's put things in us that when we step out and walk and we're obedient, all of those things will come to pass. Amen? And, mm-hmm. And he blesses the willing and obedient will eat the good land. Not sacrifice, not sacrificial. Well, I've sacrificed this for you, Lord. Okay, but did he tell us to do this? Right? Is he leading us to do this? So, again, I don't know who that's for, but it's very important to be led by the Spirit of God. And I think, too, in days to come, people are going to be hungry for not only the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but also on how to be led by the Spirit. Right? Which direction do I go? Because, the Bible doesn't tell you what you need to do. It gives you a roadmap and it gives you an opportunity to connect with the Holy Spirit, right? It tells you what is God and what is not. And there's a lot of stuff out in the world that is not God. And it helps you recognize those things and it helps you understand who God is. And then through understanding who God is and the Bible and the roadmap and getting you there, then you'll be able to train your spirit, man. Amen. Amen. Again, I'm not sure why that was all said, but it's all true. So we're going to continue this week as the gates of hell will not prevail. We are victorious. Amen? And trying to find out where we should start at, let's look at Luke chapter 4. Let's turn there. Let's start there. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And this is Jesus just came out. John the Baptist, just his cousin, just baptized him in the Jordan. And now he's coming out, and now he's getting the download from heaven. This is where things are starting for him, okay? Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus," this is a New Living Translation, "full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River," so again, he came out of the Jordan River, "was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." We got to be led by the Spirit, don't we? "Where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing. All that time, he became very hungry." Now, we talked a little bit about this last week. We're going to move on, but I think this is a good springboard to where we're going. Verse 3, "Then the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become a loaf of bread.'" Now, like we talked about last week, the enemy always wants you to question your position. Okay? Wants to question your position. He tried to cause doubt in Jesus' mind who he was. If he can get Jesus to doubt who he is, then what? Then he's got him defeated. My step-grandfather spent time in a Nazi concentration camp, right? The propaganda there was, your country doesn't care for you, right? What are they trying to do? They're trying to get you to doubt your purpose. They're trying to get you to disconnect from your cause. Propaganda is always, bless you, propaganda is always going to get you to disconnect from the cause, isn't it? Well, he escaped, thank God. But verse 4 says, "But Jesus told him, 'No, the scripture says people do not live by bread alone.'" Verse 5, "Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. 'I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them,' the devil said, 'because they are mine to give to anyone I please, and I will give it all to you if you will worship me.'" Well, again, what do we talk about a lie is? A lie is half-truth. The truth is, yes, he had authority, right? Because Adam and Eve sold that authority. They gave him that when they sinned in the garden. They gave the authority that God gave them. They handed it over to Satan. But here's the lie. I will give it to you if you'll worship me. The devil's never going to give you. No. I mean, he's never going to give Jesus that, right? And Jesus is smarter than that, right? "You must worship the Lord your God and serve him only," right? So two things. Question who he is. Trying to get Jesus to question who he is. And the second thing is trying to get us to disconnect from the way of God. You can do it yourself. We can shortcut everything here. Jesus, just kneel down to me and I'll give this all to you. Well, first of all, that wasn't God's plan, was it? And second of all, that's how Adam and Eve got in trouble in the first place, is they disconnected from the word of the Lord, right? Okay. "Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and to the highest point of the temple and said, 'If you're the Son of God, jump off.'" Now, we've got three patterns here. We've got the first one is he's trying to get Jesus to doubt who he is. If he can doubt who he is, then he'll separate from God. The second one is he's trying to trick him into a shortcut to say, "All right, if you just kneel down, I'll give this all to you." That wasn't God's plan. The devil is a liar. So we can definitely take it to the bank that anything that comes out of the devil's mouth, we can't trust. So that's not going to work, right? When we separate ourselves from God, which is, again, the devil tries to do, is separate us from the Lord, that's going to cause problems. And then the very last thing is the devil's trying to get you so pumped up, right, that you're just wonderful. You're just awesome. You're just, everything's great. So he's trying to either question you, separate you from God, or get you so much into pride that you don't need it. I can do this myself. I'll just jump off. All these angels will come. It's just wonderful. I'm just the next best thing since peanut butter. It's just wonderful, great, awesome. Well, we're not. We are nothing apart from God. So again, anytime that we are, apart from the Lord, we can't do anything. All right, Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Again, we talked a little bit about this week, but this is where we want to kind of go into a little bit more. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation also. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, Like I said last week, say that fast 10 times, right? Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is, right? So he's getting a, all right, what are people saying about me here? All right, what's the consensus? All right, then he goes on. The Lord stops and allows them to air what's being said around them. Okay, what's the world say? What are people saying? And then they come back. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or other prophets. Now, the John the Baptist thing is what gets me, right? If Jesus and John the Baptist are walking together, how can Jesus be John the Baptist when they were alive at the same time? That doesn't make sense, but whatever, okay? Again, this is the world for you, or this is, you know, religious folks of the world for you, so nothing makes sense. Here's a kicker. Here's what he gets you, verse 15. Then he asks, but who do you say that I am, right? The Lord is really interested in what his kids are thinking. Now, you know, when I was a kid, obviously, you know, you'd have, you know, people, well, so-and-so said this about you. Okay, whatever. But my good friends, I'm more interested in what they had to say about me than other people, right? Well, so-and-so, you know, says this. Well, what do I care? I don't, you know. But your family members, those people close to you, you're more concerned about what they think often, right, of you than the neighbor down the street, right, or some other person, right? I mean, I could care less. You know, not that I don't care about people, but it's just, again, but Jesus is really wanting to know, what does the inner circle think about me? Then he goes on, he says, well, they reply that. So Jesus is more interested in that. Does the church believe that Jesus is Lord? That's really the key here. We know the world doesn't, right? I mean, the world's into everything else. The world's into, New Ageism. Self-help is okay, I guess. But if you're not focusing on the Lord to help you with some things, you can get off balance. But, you know, there are other religions, you know, humanism. I can do things myself. I'm atheist. I'm this and that, you know. And I haven't met an atheist on their deathbed yet. So I'm still looking for that atheist that is on their deathbed, right? I haven't found him yet. Because every time I'm in the hospital with them, they're like, pray for me, pray for me. All right, you want to get born again? Yes, yes, yes. So you were an atheist an hour ago. Now you're going to be dying any minute, right? There's no such thing as an atheist, right? So I haven't met one yet. Yeah. So again, does the church believe that Jesus is Lord? Let me, and I know that the youth in here, we watched some videos a while back about John Alexander Dowie, okay? Now, I'm going to get into some things, and I'm going to challenge you tonight about where our dependence is at, because that's where we really trust in Jesus. Now, the scripture, Jesus is not really putting a lot of stock or weight in what the world says, right? Because they're not close to him, they don't know, but he does. Again, let's read here, verse 16, what Peter says. Peter answered and says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So again, the gates of hell will not prevail, right? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So we're seeing a divine revelation here from heaven. It's by the Holy Spirit has revealed this truth to Peter. Okay, later named Peter. And then through that, there's authority. What is the key that it is here? The key is trusting in the Lord, having faith in Him, knowing that He's the answer, He's the Messiah. You know, John Alexander Dowie required people. Let me just back up who John Alexander Dowie is. He was a minister around the late 19th century, okay? He's here in the U.S., and he's the man that started Zion, Illinois. What that is he decided that, I mean, we're just going to have our own little make our own little town. We're going to build our town. And all of these followers that were with him, they just ended up in Zion, Illinois, right? Just made their own little town. Said, we're just tired of the world system and everything else too. He would have healing rooms. And John Alexander Dowie is the reason why we have a lot of freedom in this as ministers to pray for people. He has gone to court, I would say, well over 100 times for my research, because they tried to get him for practicing medicine without a license. He's the guy, that's why you've seen it in England now, they're trying to do this with some of the believers over there. John Alexander went to court so many times, it finally got overturned in a law put in place that ministers, we as ministers, can go and pray for people and not be sued for practicing law without a license, right?
Medicine.
Or practicing medicine without a license, right? So this guy has a lot. Now, later on, he kind of got off, okay, and there's some things. But John Alexander Dowie required people in these healing rooms that he had to stop taking medication before they came to the healing rooms. Okay? Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you to do this or do that or anything. Everybody, you know, stop taking medicine or whatever. What I am saying is this, that some of these people are like, I'm trusting God no matter what. And where's our faith at? Okay? I'm not telling you again tonight to stop taking your medicine. I'm never going to tell you to do that. Okay? But what I am saying is this. When the rubber meets the road, where is our trust at? Where is our faith in? Right? Some Christian ministers during this pandemic were really quiet. Right? Didn't want to talk about God. Didn't want to talk about the healing power. Scared half to death about everything. Right? Didn't want to make waves and everything. But now all is coming to an end. Now you saw these ministers, which they were quiet, didn't talk about any of this stuff, and I've talked about this weeks ago. Now they're all for the vaccine. And again, if you take the vaccine, that's your business. I don't care. I mean, you got to do what do what's in your heart, okay? But what I'm getting at is this. Is our faith in a vaccine or it is in God? Right? Because I got to be honest with you. I mean, we weren't able to hold church because our building shut us down. But I'm going to be honest with you, we would have still been having church during this pandemic if we had our own building. Hello? Because my faith is in God, not COVID. Hello? Now, yes, if there are people who are scared of this and really concerned, that's fine, okay? We're not condemning people. I'm never here to condemn people or say, well, you know, you don't have faith because you don't do this or you don't do this or you don't do that. We're not here to condemn people at all, okay? Or, you know, some people, their security's in a mask. You go somewhere and you're not wearing a mask and people flip out. I mean, if you need to wear a mask, then wear a mask. If you feel better about wearing a mask, then do it. But my faith is not in a mask. It is over here in God, right? Now, you know, people will say, well, maybe I got COVID or you know, maybe we've seen some people with COVID. That has nothing to do whether God's word is true or not, right? I mean, hello? I mean, what does that have to do with anything? Nothing. So again, where is our faith at, okay? Now, if you're taking the vaccine, that's your business. If you want to wear a mask, that's your business. I am never going to condemn people for doing what is their personal conviction is, right? But I'm challenging people not to say that we throw everything away and we're just going to be, you know, but what I am saying is we need to check ourselves and go, am I trusting God here or am I just reacting in fear on some things here sometimes, right? So again, you know, many Christians and ministers are acting like the Lord has no ability in this situation, right? The Lord, well, you know, we got to do everything the government says and everything. My Bible says it's better to trust man and to obey man than it is, or better to obey God than man, right? Did you realize I was just listening to we were listening to something today, and only 10% of churches in California have opened. 10% of churches in California. Are you kidding me? And that shows me the level of ministers and the people out there. Open your doors. Tell the government to go stick it. My goodness. I am going to come to church and worship God and get in the Word, and I don't care what the government says. Take me to court, please. There are people that they'll record themselves, they'll send to the IRS, and they'll say, sue me, please sue me. Please take me to court. Because we are begging for the IRS to sue us so we can get into court and get the stuff overthrown. Please take us to court, right? Because we are not afraid of you. And when we start cowing down to people and they're oppressing us because of they don't want that, we're talking about a Pharaoh now. Who did not allow the Israelites to go? Because really, at the beginning, all Moses wanted to do, if you read the scriptures in Exodus, all he wanted to do is take the people in the wilderness to be able to worship God, to sacrifice and to worship God. And Pharaoh said, no. Mm-hmm. Who does that sound like today? Mm-hmm. The government, right? No, mm-hmm. Right? It's all about control, a lot of these people, and it's not about common sense. So we see there. So what do we have? We have the keys of the kingdom. And again, it all comes down to where is our faith at? My faith is in the Word. My faith is in the Lord. Now, there are some people, some politicians I completely agree with, but you know, it doesn't matter who's president, what. They are not going to change things. Only God can change things through prayer. So, you know, my faith is not in a person or, you know, Donald Trump or anybody else. I'm just saying my faith is in God. He may use whoever he wants to accomplish it, but I'm telling you what, God's still on the throne, and I've been contending his word. I'm like, Lord, there's evil in this land, and your word says that when evil in the land, and we pray that you're going to change something because your word says it. That you will come and you will heal our land. And we are praying. And I'm telling you what, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. I'm not boring you tonight, am I? Okay? Am I offending you? Well, if I am, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. But you'll get over it. But I'm trying to bring you up to a level of thinking, okay? All right, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not saying you're stupid if you wear a mask or you're dumb if you do this or anything else. Don't read into that, okay? I'm not saying that tonight. I'm saying, let's step back and say, okay, where is my trust? Is my trust in a mask or is my trust in God, okay? And don't get condemned over this stuff, right? Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and it says, and then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all devils. And to cure diseases. Guys, that's us. This is us. Well, this is still old covenant, blah, 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 blah. No, this is a precursor of the great things that are coming ahead that you and I enjoy now. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of the gospel and to heal the sick. And again, we got to get focused on the Lord and his ability. Guys, here's the kicker. His character and compassion, healing, salvation, they're all mercy and they're all forced. And you know what? I want people who are wicked to repent and turn to Jesus, right? If they will not turn to Jesus, then again, God will deal with them. Psalms 20, verse 7. I'm going to go a little deeper tonight here. Psalms 20, verse 7. And it says, some trust in Republicans, Democrats. Professors from universities. Masks. CNN. Everybody else. No. Some trust in chariots, right? And some in horses. But we will remember the name of our Lord God. You don't have to turn. I'm going to read these two scriptures. You can write them down. I'm going to read them real quick, though. Joshua 11:4 and Joshua 11:6. And Joshua 11:4 says, and they went out, they and all of their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. So they have this big, just vast amount of people with horses and chariots. It didn't look good. Verse 6, and the Lord said to Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. And then later it happened. Isaiah 31:1 in the Amplified Classic there, and it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek and consult the Lord. You know, I want to know how many of these ministers and how many of these Christians out there prayed and said, you know what, should we close our doors, Lord? Is this something that we should do? But instead, we've got the worthless media out there that is literally, we were laughing today, we were watching some footage of some things. It's just hilarious. They had a White House live conference, and the guy was standing right across. It was funny. He had the video of the live conference on CNN, and then he was showing a video of the gardens outside of the White House, and there was nobody there. All the lights were black. No snipers. And then there's just guys out there standing by the gates. It's like, this is a propaganda game, guys. I mean, we got to wake up and go, this guy's a clown, and these people are clowns, and it's all a big joke, right? I'm on my phone like every other day watching it, and the White House is completely black. There is nobody there. It's an absolute joke. We are watching liars on TV. I'm telling you right now. I'm watching live feeds on TV on my phone. I'm like, I've watched for weeks now, and I don't see anybody at the White House, right? And then his press secretary says, oh, he's still living in Delaware. It's like, you people are a joke, right? I can't watch this stuff, right? I can't watch it. It's an absolute joke. And so these people with all their intimidations and all of their lies and all of their horses and all of their chariots and all this other junk, and God said, I'm not impressed with your war machine. I'm not impressed with you. The people who are faithful to me, I'll take care of it and I'll destroy you. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing right now. All of these people are being destroyed. Mm-hmm. Mark my words. God is not impressed with our weapons of war. God is not impressed with your cheating. God is not impressed with your media. God is not impressed with manipulation. God is not impressed with your lies. God is not impressed with your, you know, political clout. God is not impressed with any of that. He wants faithful people who are willing to pray and serve him. And that's why, you know, we talk about, the Lord spoke to me years ago about praying for corruption, praying for these things. I'm telling you again, just like we've talked about, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And it's not because of a person or a political party or anything else. It's because God is showing up on the scene and he's going to make things right. Yes. He will make things right. Yes. And again, but it all comes down to who is our faith in? Who is our faith in? My faith is definitely not in the government. I'll tell you that right now. All right? And I'm telling you, you know, but other people, the list come back home. You know, like some people are like, well, I believe, you know, in the Second Amendment. Well, I believe in the Second Amendment also, but that's not going to save me. God is going to save me. It's not going to be a firearm. It is good. It's great. It's all right. It's a blessing given by God to defend ourselves. But God is the one that's going to protect me. He is going to save me. Not a person. Not a device, nothing. Why? Because he wants the glory. And he wants us to come to him and trust him and to rely on him. Other people, it's a bank account. Well, you know, well, I've got the money and I'm a big fat cat and I'm everything's just great and wonderful and I've got everything I need and I got a big bank account. Well, it could be gone tomorrow, right? It could be gone tomorrow. You know, we've seen things over the years where, you know, crooked investment people, they've caught, you know, Bernie Madoff and made off with lots of money and all of these other people that, you know, it's all of these people that had a lot of self-pride that were in Hollywood and everything. And all of a sudden I was like, oops, I lost $200 million or whatever, right? It's because we got to have our trust in the Lord. About your health, right? I mean, not trusting the Lord. How many people were healthy at one point and all of a sudden they lose their health and now it's like it's just a downward spiral for them? It is the grace of God that any of us are here breathing, have health or anything else. And to think that, well, I'm keeping myself healthy or I'm taking this medicine, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I. Okay, whatever. Again, it's the we're dependent on the Lord. He's the one that's going to deliver us. He's the one that's going to bring us out of this. He's the one that keeps us healthy. He's the one that brings prosperity, right? Did you look at the numbers through all of the, interesting here, right? And did you look at the numbers of all of the, and you can do this yourself, do this, your homework, all of the numbers for all the billionaires, how much money they made over the COVID pandemic? Isn't that interesting? They're so caring, but some of them have doubled their income. It's all about they care for you. Staying home. You need to stay home. You need to buy everything off Amazon. You need to just sit on Facebook. Click on the ads for us. We're concerned about you. Just saying, right? But I'm telling you what, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. These people are going to see something very, very soon. It's going to shake them up. Amen. So again, what are we dependent on? Who are we dependent on? Are we dependent on the Lord? Are we dependent on our own devices, what people say, what the television tells me to think, blah, 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 blah? But the balance in it is do everything we can in our ability, work hard, trust in the Lord, be led by Him, and give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. You know, you got two sides here where somebody would be like, well, you know, I'm just trusting God, and they're laying on the couch eating Cheetos, you know, watching Jerry Springer during the day, whatever. Whatever kind of garbage is on TV, right? And there's people who don't let the Lord in their lives at all, and they're working hard, which is good, but they don't let God in. We got to work hard, do those things, you know, put our hand to the grindstone, and then trust God along the way. Amen? He's going to lead us and guide us in the direction, right? So God is in the middle. I'm going to tell you what's going on right now, okay? And I prayed about this, all right? And at some point, we're going to see exposure going on. And we need to pray for people that they can handle what's going to happen in the next days, weeks, months. I don't know when it's going to happen, right? But we're going to see some radical change coming to our nation very, very soon. And so we're going to see people exposed. We're going to see people who were, I mean, it's going to be, I believe, everything from ministers to politicians to, I mean, all points in between. We're going to see some major stuff going on. And that's why I believe we've seen a lot of censorship in social media. God is going to turn the tables around on tyrants, though, too. Okay? And many people are scared by these bullies and manipulators, but we don't need to be afraid, you know? Oh, my goodness, I'm going to get kicked off Facebook. I'm sorry, how does that affect my life again? Like, why do I care? You know? One more time, you've been warned. I'm still going to speak my mind, baby. So, you know, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. I'm going to get kicked off Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook, so that tells you how much I'm with it anymore. But again, we're going to see some things. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, it says, "But Jesus beheld them and said, 'With men this is impossible.'" How many of you knew that, like, about a year ago, everything just seemed the natural, just completely impossible? Like, you know, even like 3 or 4 months ago, I mean, it just seemed like life was just spiraling out of control. And it's kind of like, God, where are you at? What's going on here? And it seemed impossible. But with God, what is it? All things are possible. Right? You know, it's fun. It's just interesting because I was watching a politician last year. And, well, it was Governor Cuomo, I'll just say it right now. And that little arrogant, you know what, decided to blaspheme God on TV, and I told Ader, and I said, he's going down right now. He's going to be done. He's gone. You cannot blaspheme God and get away with it, especially at that level. And guess what? And all these people laugh against Christians, laugh against God, have been oppressing the church and everything else too. I'm telling you what, it's coming to bite them. Because why? Because it says right here. And it's going to happen. I can predict all of the people. I told Adrian, it's going to be Cuomo is going down. He is going down. Right when he said it, it came out of his mouth. I said, he's done. He's done with office. He's going to be removed. Watch. And then it's. I'm telling you what, it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen here soon. And all these other people that have been doing this stuff too, right? So, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have joy. And God is going to turn this thing around. I'm telling you right now. Amen? But we're going to continue to pray. We're going to say, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Amen? We are living in an end time, and God has got to. God's got a lot of things to do. There's a big harvest out there of people that want to come to Jesus. And these people that are going to stand in God's way, he's going to deal with them. I'm not going to deal with people. You know, we're just going to get in there and do this. You know what? I'm praying. God's going to do it. And you know what? I'm not Republican. I am on God's side. Whatever God wants to do, I'm with him. Okay? Let's do this thing. But I'm telling you what, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Ephesians, let's look at a couple scriptures here. I know we're going kind of late. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. One of the things tonight is this, stay on God's side, okay? Don't get on God's bad side, all right? Just love him. Yes, Jesus. Just say, yes, Lord, all the time. But when you get arrogant and say, we don't need God, and start blaspheming on national, international TV, please watch yourself, because pride comes before a fall. And unfortunately, those falls usually come in front of everybody. Ephesians 1:15, it says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, here we go, guys, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in the knowledge of God. How many people do not have any spiritual insight whatsoever? You know, it's just really interesting. Adrian was showing something to me. What was it? Like yesterday, a couple of days ago. And this guy's on Facebook talking about and just a lot of really interesting things. And I'm like sitting there thinking to myself, I just talked about that like 3 weeks ago. You know? And I'll watch, he'll bring something up. I'm like, I just talked about that 2 weeks ago. And something else will come up. I just talked about that a month and a half ago. We were just talking about that last week. When you got the Spirit of God, you should have some insight on something. I mean, you should be having some confirmation with other people in the spirit realm, right? I mean, you should have something. But the thing is, we need to pray for people. You need to pray these over yourself. These are called the Ephesians prayers. We'll look at the other one here too. That I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light. How many need light? I need light. Don't you? Right? Right? What do you need light? Because when you watch something on TV, you go, that's not right. You know? When I'm watching TV and I see... when I'm watching TV and I've sat in the Maybe Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma with some of these people, they were healing people. Again... Get this, Adrian and I were there when we were in Tulsa at the Maybe Center. A minister was seeing people healed and everything, right? During this pandemic, not one word about healing whatsoever. And then he's on a daytime show talking about getting the vaccine. Well, where was the guy I saw 15 years ago that people were jumping out of wheelchairs and stuff? You know, and now you're selling out to, we all got to get the vaccine, okay? Where's that guy at, right? I want to see that guy again. I mean, they can talk. I mean, they're doctors. They can talk about the vaccine they want. You're in the wrong realm here. You got to stay in your own lane. Your lane and the anointing was over here healing people, speaking in the word. You didn't talk about healing. I've been listening to you for months now. You didn't talk about healing, about anything. But you're over here toting the vaccine. No, we need to tote God's word. We need to tote healing. That's what we need over here. We need to give God glory and give God some room to move and to do something, right? Yeah. Amen? So let the doctors do their thing. I'm going to be over here with God. Amen? I'm gonna believe God. I'm going to pray for people. Let's continue staying in faith on that. But stay in your lane. Amen? So we need light, guys, with light so that we can understand the confident hope he has given to those that he's called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in his place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Guys, the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenly places, we can have it. I want more of it. I'll just admit I haven't been operating or seeing the level that I want in my life. How many are with me? You want to see more in your life too, right? I do. And I'll admit, I want to see more of it in my life. Amen? And I believe we're going to see more of it. I mean, we could have everybody healed here. Everybody, you know, everybody had an ailment. We'd have everybody healed. And I'd still say, we need more. Right? We're never satisfied. I'm never satisfied. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body, and it is made full with and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. Now, I know we're going late. Stick with me here. Ephesians 4, 14, and it says, when I think of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you with your inner strength through Christ or through the Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in our hearts as you what? Trust in him. Interesting there. The level that we trust him is the level that he is in our heart. Right? Obviously, you got kids or something. Your kids go, I want to do this. You know, I'm going to help you do this. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's do the first thing, and that's take the plates off the table and put them in the sink by the dishwasher. Let's do that thing first, okay? Right? And God's going, okay, are you going to take the dirty dishes and put them by the sink? Right? I'm not telling you that's he's literally saying, but I'm saying he's like, okay, we need to do the square hole in the square peg, the square peg in the square hole. Okay, can you do that first? All right, great. It's a building block of the things that we walk with God on. The more you do, the more you obey, the more revelation, the more things come, the more he gives you, right? When we're done here tonight, I'm just not going to toss Emily the keys to the car and go, okay, sugar babe, you go and drive tonight. I love you, right? And she's got an idea. She probably knows the key goes and, you know, there's pedals down there and there's a shifter dealy bob and everything else too. But, you know, Molly's laughing at me. So anyway, you're going to drive tonight. Yeah, you can drive tonight. Right? But it's one step at a time, isn't it? And the more we get involved with God, the more he abides in our heart and everything else too, right? Then Christ will make his home in our heart and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Why does Apostle Paul emphasize love here? Because we're disconnected from him without it. I'm going to say it one more time. We're disconnected from him without it. I am, you know, there are people that watch the news and they get fearful of everything. And you know why I don't get fearful of anything? Number one, I don't watch that junk. Number two, I'm with God, right? I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen to me? I get COVID and I die, right? What's the worst thing that could happen to me? I mean, you know, whatever. I got life insurance. What do I care, right? That's probably not the right answer, is it? I don't want to put a bounty on my head or anything like that. No, the point is this, what am I scared of? Like, why am I fearful? Because I know God loves me and he's going to take care of me. The cement, like the word says, faith worketh by love. Love is the oil that keeps the machine running. It keeps me going. The love of God leads men to repentance. The love of God is that cement that sticks me to him. Right? I just grab onto him and I never let go. And again, you know, I pray for people like Como that they would come to God. You know, it's not that I don't like him, I don't know him, but the point is, it's like when you're blaspheming God or you say things against God and you're prideful, it's like, I don't want these things to come upon you. You're bringing things on yourself that you don't want. You have no idea what kind of, why? Because I know God's word and he's true. When he says that, again, whatsoever things, you know, when Mark 11, 22 through 24 works just the other way too. I mean, we speak faith, but then too, if you speak negative things, it's going to come upon you. You open a door up to the devil. And my prayer is that, you know, him and other people, that they would get born again. Their lives would be turned around and God would touch their hearts and they would be a good testimony. Right? I was here and God brought me here and this is wonderful. But Paul emphasizes love here because it is the cement that draws us to him. It just seals the deal with God. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, here we go, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is, that you may experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So, our job, the Apostle Paul says, you need to just understand or try to at least comprehend how much God loves you. I mean, just how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. He loves people that are evil, that are doing wrong things, right? We want them to come to Jesus and to have that God moment and that moment where they can, you know, and some people, they have to be arrested. The Bible talks about the law is not for the people who obey the law. The law is there for the lawless, to protect us. So the law is a good thing. Oh, you're just getting legalism and the law. No, the law is good. And Jesus said, I don't change anything from the law, right? But some new things that I bring is the law of love. Last scripture here, Revelation 1:18. When I saw, New Living Translation, when I saw him, this is John, Apostle John wrote this, and he says, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, talking about Jesus. So there's a falling out for you guys right there. You want to know scripture for people fall out and everything? Because when God shows up and the power hits, yeah. But he laid his right hand on me and he said, don't be afraid. You notice how many times Jesus talks about an angel shows up or anything, or the Lord appears to people or anything, and the first thing that comes out of the mouth is, whoa, don't be afraid. Chill out, dude. Just relax. It's okay. All right? Don't freak out on me. He says, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And here we go, guys. I hold the keys of death and the grave. We as believers are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen. Just because the world is in fear, just because everything's going chaotic in the world, I'm still going to live for God. I'm still going to be faithful to him. I'm still going to live in victory. I'm still going to have my joy. And it doesn't matter because the gates of hell will not prevail against me. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against you. You can run now if you want to. I'm just telling you that. Amen. So we need to get out of fear. Because, you know, it doesn't matter what the news says or anything else. If it doesn't come from here, it's false. If it doesn't come, if it's not birthed out of the Word of God and of truth, and it doesn't bear witness on the inside, you do not have to believe it. And there's so much peer pressure, you know, on TV and everything. Oh, you've got to do this. Oh, you've got to do this. Oh, you've got to do this. I don't have to do anything. Wrong. I don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. You have freedom. We are. That's why my grandpa and, you know, his uncle and Adrian's family and all the kinds of other people here fought against the tyrants in World War II so people could be free. We have freedom in America. And I believe it's inspired by God because God wants us free, spiritually, physically, emotionally, every way. Hallelujah. And we're going to see more freedom coming ahead. Why? Because God is showing up on the scene and he's doing something in this nation. He's doing something in the body of Christ. It may look uncomfortable, but it's going to be great when it's all done. It is going to be awesome because I trust God. And not only that, but there are other people that I trust that have spoken prophetic words that I stand on also. God has spoken to other people that I look to. And not only that, but everything they've said has come to pass. And they are true, proven men and women of God. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. God, we thank you for blessings of science. We thank you for the blessings of medicine and doctors, and we thank you for these. But God, none of that has come about apart from you, Lord. You are the one that gives doctors wisdom. You are the one that gives people understanding. And Lord, we thank you that you've created everything, this world and everything in it, and you made it. There in the book of Genesis, you said it was good. And God, we pray as a church tonight that everything in this nation, we speak that it is good. And it is, and that God, that your fingerprints will begin to be all over this nation again, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you are doing things behind the scenes supernaturally, Lord God. That it's not the political realm, but Lord, you are invading the political realm. You are invading our government, Lord God. You are invading our schools, Lord God. You are invading our churches, Lord Jesus. You are invading our military and police and every area, every walk of life from county and local all the way up to federal. God, you are invading our nation like never before, Lord, and we are desperate for you. We are desperate for you in our nation, Lord God. And we thank you and we pray that you are doing things behind the scenes, Lord God. And tonight, we're not giving a man, an organization, anything else, but we are giving you glory tonight, Father. Because your word says that if we will humble ourselves and pray, that you will come and heal our land, Lord. We thank you for it. And we thank you that the gates of hell will not prevail against us tonight. It will not prevail against us, Lord. But we'll have courage to step forth, to be bold, to go forth and to speak things to people, Lord God, through this church and through us ourselves individually, that we'll have boldness to stand up for righteousness, Lord God. No matter what the Goliath looks like or the bully that stands in front of us, we're going to stand up for God. And Lord, we're going to stand up for you and your word all the time, Lord God, because you are faithful. You are faithful to us, and we will be faithful to you, Lord. Hear our decree tonight. We love you. We worship you, Lord God. We know that you're a good father, no matter what the world says. We trust, we believe in you, and we love you tonight, Father. In your name, amen. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Continue to pray. Wednesday nights we're having prayer. Hallelujah. It's a good time. Amen. Have a great week. Thank you.